This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Free Talk Live, where we're chanting,
sending out vibrations.
Yeah, probably doesn't hurt. You know,
what's the other one? Gregorian chant.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. No, this is Free Talk Live, where actually what we do is we take your phone calls and thoughts, and we put you on the radio where you can talk about whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. We do.
Okay.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Some guy with a goatee.
And another guy that with a kind of a mustache a little bit. But
if you guys don't identify,
he's trying to come in.
I'm going to go.
I identify at my pronouns, by the way. My preferred pronoun is mofo.
Okay. I thought your preferred identification is Gigi's boyfriend.
Well, that's her preferred identification for me.
You can call me the Robin Hood of King.
Well, we have actually a caller on the line. Gigi in South Carolina, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh,
what's on your mind?
Bonnie, you are so adorable. I was cracking up just now listening to when you said Gigi's boyfriend. Yes, I adore any man with an intellect. And I feel that way about the captain, but aww. I say
he's
it
got a
again
big intellect.
It's singular, though. Notice.
And although I do adore his intellect, I respect his wife.
Oh, captain's actually single.
I don't have a wife.
I thought he was married.
Good news, Gigi.
But I'm a married woman. But you know, in biblical times. Even in some North African countries where there are still Jewish people, a Jewish man has more than one wife. What do you say, Captain?
You know, we can go to Utah.
Great cook.
I've always wanted a harem.
Oh my gosh!
Can we try your cooking
Listen,
first
I'm
before
so
we
get into choices? Oh, tonight with us, Captain, because I remember what the major said Sunday evening, and I had complimented him, and when he called in, he said, Gigi neglected to say it's going to get worse before it gets better. Mm. I hope the captain is listening tonight.
I am.
Because he was right, in my opinion.
Woo-hoo!
However, I would like to point something out. I am thinking, because I'm very passionate about political history. I taught history at various universities for 22 years,
oh, wow,
and I'm still young. But the Northern Irish entity known as Sinn Féin, the political branch of Northern Ireland, they made full peace with Prime Minister Tony Blair in 1993, the Good Friday Peace Accords. If they can get it together and stop bombing and stop violence and stop kidnapping and stop hostage taking and stop murders on both sides, then it's long past due that Israel and the Palestinians do the same.
I really like the idea of there being, you know, calling for peace on both sides. So many people think it's just impossible. Like, oh, it's impossible.
It's not impossible.
No, it's not.
Because when you want to accomplish something, you do it.
Well,
right?
And it takes the people there to do
That's
something
right.
about it. Like, we can all sit here, we can opine on the internet, and we can call into a radio station, and that's great. We should do that. But the people that are there, that are in it, that are... do you guys remember the Christmas armistice?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And so, like, one day, some soldiers were just like, you know, it's Christmas. Let's just put down our guns, and let's have a meal. Let's hang out. You know, let's play games, play some baseball, whatever, right? You know? It takes the people who are down there in it.
You are exactly correct, Captain. The people involved are the ones who must go forward in a progressive and joint venture. And why, if America and Vietnam can do it, and of all people, Germany and Israel, right?
Yeah, peace is definitely possible. It just takes the decision.
Well, I thought it was Hitler's idea to concentrate all the Jews in one area.
Mm. Listen,
just saying.
It's an attitude by all parties.
I thought you were
How doing. Come President Nelson yeah. Mandela, he should rest in peace? He said, we're not going to take revenge. We're not going to put people in jail. We're going to have truth and reconciliation and go forward as a nation.
It takes being the bigger person to not want revenge in any situation. Thank you for the call, Gigi. I really appreciate it. It definitely takes being the bigger person. You always think that, oh, like these people got killed in this country, and the way to make that better is to kill innocent people in their country. And it doesn't make those other people come back to life. It doesn't help anyone. The only way to stop killing is just stop killing.
I like that Gigi brought up Ireland. Ireland, historically speaking, I think Ireland might be the most libertarian geographic area, you know, historically speaking. Mark Stovall put together something that I don't remember what year this came out. It was probably like, let me see what it says here, 2012. This was posted. 9,000 years. Of anarchy in Ireland. He says, I posted once before on Ireland and their anarchy that lasted for more than 1,000 years. This most remarkable historical example of a society of libertarian law and courts first came to my attention while reading Murray Rothbard's For a New Liberty. This was a society where not only the courts and the law were largely libertarian, but they were basically anarcho-capitalist in the modern sense of the phrase. The Celtic society was not some primitive society or tribe, but rather it was a highly complex society. Ireland, for centuries, was the most advanced, most scholarly, and most civilized society in all of Western Europe, and all without government. And if you want to read more about that, we'll, of course, post this in our links.
That was when they had the Ops or something?
The Tuatha.
Tuatha.
I probably mispronounced it. Tuatha. The Tuatha were just, it's what you would expect to find in a society without an institution of violence, government, right? It's what you would expect. Their society would, you know, sort of locate wise people, not necessarily smart. I mean, you go quay smart, but like wise more than smart. Wise people. And when there was a conflict, they would just go, oh, can we both agree that, you know, Bob over here is wise? And they're like, yeah, Bob's wise. He's been wise to me. He's been wise to you. Okay, yeah. Let's ask Bob how we should go about resolving our conflict. And they would do that. And so this is arbitration, right?
There's a conflict of interest since Bob's your uncle.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that always happens.
I did not expect that joke from Bonnie.
I think it was kind of a captain joke.
It was a captain joke. But the Tuatha were just, they were like friendly societies, like the Kiwanis or the Lions Club or this type of thing. Like, friendly societies used to sort of be largely the thing that drove industry, medical industry for certain. These friendly societies were just groups of people who'd get together and they would pay like a doctor's salary for a year. And amongst whoever, you know, the 20 or 30 people in this group, whoever they were, you know, if one person started to sort of monopolize that doctor, the rest of the group would get together and be like, hey, you're kind of taking up too much of this doctor's time. He doesn't have enough time to come and see us. We need to, you know, make sure that goes. Do you want to pay more so that you can have more time? Or do you want to, like, cut back on the time? Or do you want to go join another Tuatha where maybe it's a smaller group or maybe the doctor is a specialized thing to help you with whatever you got going on, right? These were options, right? We don't have these options. Also, the incentive was correct. With the hiring a doctor and paying his full salary, what they would do is they would pay him as long as everybody was healthy. If somebody wasn't healthy, they would stop paying him until they were healthy again. This incentivized the doctor to not only just do whatever the tried and true methods were, a.k.a., you know, we'll call it above board science, but it incentivized him to do things including natural remedies. Right, using plants and using herbs and using, you know, exposure to the sun and things of that nature to
instead of just
help,
like,
heal people.
Oh, you make the most money the more pharmaceuticals you can sell.
Right. What we have today, doctors are just drug pushers.
Incentivized for you to be sick.
Right.
Absolutely.
And they don't want to cure you. They want to create a subscription-based customer. They want you to pay every month for the rest of your life. Whereas the incentive needs to be the other way around. The incentive for doctors needs to be creating healthy humans. And they're not doing that.
Right.
Joey and I were having an infuriating conversation today with this canvasser because I was just trying to explain to him, like, has a cop ever helped you with something? He's like, yeah, a cop stopped these bullies from beating me up when I was a kid. I was like, okay, so you like that the cop did that. Why is it so hard to understand that a person could do that job, but without stealing from your neighbors to get it and you paying it yourself? And he just started saying, oh, well, I'm black, and in my neighborhood, you think people can afford private security? It was just so infuriating because it's like, what if your community
wasn't
stolen
from? You could if you weren't taxed so much.
Right.
But I want to elaborate on this. I want to talk about it in the air. Not, yeah. We told us not to reveal his name and all those things. And there's a reason. He actually gave me a really good story. And I don't really want to spoil it too much. Don't say what town or anything like that. But let's put it this way. His rights were highly violated
here in New
Hampshire.
And he's still a cop lover. It's weird.
And he's still licking the boots a little bit there. And I was
maybe we were getting to him, maybe. But
I think he was, you know, because he was campaigning for someone. He had to keep a certain sort of, you know, repertoire going, whatever.
Right-wing leaning.
Yeah, I don't think he was, you know, he doesn't want to wear the shirt of this guy who's, you know, running.
Wait,
he's
a black man leading right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was kind of fascinating. And he doesn't want this story to get out until after the election.
It's probably not as uncommon as my reaction makes it seem. I was just like, we're in Keene, New Hampshire, where, like, you know, it's basically white.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. And maybe that's part of the reason why the cops decided to pick on him. That's what I was wondering.
I think so, too, but I will reveal that story when need be. I mean, I'm not telling you what to do, Bonnie, but
I don't want to reveal
that story. I kind of promised with him, so you might have heard. You should have heard that part.
Yeah.
A little bit. Okay. All right.
I was just bringing up the fact that we were trying to talk to him about, cops could be paid voluntarily, and instead of being, you know, cops, they would just be like private security. Yeah. And if you didn't like their work, you pay a different company to do it. Just like what Captain was saying with the doctors. And he just couldn't wrap his mind around it. He kept saying, that's impossible. What? It's crazy how people just can't wrap their mind around
certain ideas. You would save money because the amount of money that they steal is way more than they need. And they waste it because they know they're just going to get it because they steal it. But when they can't steal it and they are, you know, privatized, they're going to do as best of a job they can with the money that they have. And if they do a really good job, they get more money.
Yep. Yep.
They have an incentive, like a business, to operate in a way that, you know,
pleases the customer.
Exactly.
That's the most underrated thing about human beings in all of society across the entire globe is people failing to recognize that human beings are incentive-oriented individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How many times do we hear things like, he took the path of least resistance?
Right.
That's not necessarily true. He could have taken the path of most incentive, which is generally the case.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can correct the incentivization of people, you can correct all of the bad things that happen.
Hey, you want private security? Private policing? Guess what? They will let you smoke a joint walking down the road.
Yeah, they won't tackle you if they see you doing it.
You can drink a beer walking down the road. You can Maybe even drink and drive. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying it's a good idea, but as long as you're doing it responsibly and not causing harm to others, right. they're not going to get you for one beer, you know, and ruin your life.
Yeah, in Utah, it's like 0.05%.
I mean, I go on and on about the things that they do to destroy
yeah.
lives.
Yeah, 0.05 in Utah.
I could go on and on about what cops do, the, you know, theft-paid cops, how they ruin lives, and the private cops won't do that. They want you to be happy. They don't want to ruin a customer. They're going to be like,
okay. Or ruin a life, or yeah. kill your dog, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think of it as a business, because, you know, that's what it's ultimately come down to. And, yeah, I think they would still care about the community. I actually think, all right, so this is what really, you know, ticks me off about cops, is that they do all this detail work and overtime hours. Like, in Manchester, they have a comfort pony. Like, and or
oh my
they
God.
They do these senior walks in Manchester, and they, you know, they hire this cop to walk around with the seniors. I'm like, and they everyone's calling him a hero because he lets
some such a hard job.
Old people cross the road every block. Are you kidding me? Yeah. We don't need to hire. We could hire a young gun that has, you know, has good eyesight and good hearing to make sure that they don't get smushed on the road. Okay, we don't need a cop with a huge pension to do this.
Yeah, paid so much. Like, how much could you pay a teenager to do that? Like, a lot less.
Right.
And they could do a good job and
yeah.
entertain the. You know, the old person.
And keep in mind that police are reactionary. They are not. What's the word I'm looking for? In front of it.
They're not sitting there actually stopping crimes. They just write a report afterwards.
Yeah.
They go after petty stuff all the time.
Right.
That's all they look for is the petty stuff.
With the exception of, like, you know, traffic tickets where they're on the hunt.
Yeah.
Right?
That's petty stuff, yeah.
But, and again, and I say this frequently, so I apologize if this is redundant to some of our listeners, but when's the last time you saw a fire truck hiding behind, like, a billboard or a sign or a set of bushes, just, like, looking for somebody who's going to set a fire, waiting for somebody who might be, right, you know, trying yeah. to entrap somebody into setting a fire so they could run over and put it out, right?
Yeah.
You never see that. Why do you see that with police?
Yeah, like, today, I was on the phone with a frequent caller, Alu, and I was on the phone like privately, and he was telling me
author.
That, yeah, since he's an author, and you can find his work at libertyblock.com, or thelibertyblock.com, now I can't remember right now. Well, he's an author of many books, and he was talking about adding, eventually one day he wants to add more chapters to his book, Presumed Guilty, and he said he's looking for more stories about, you know how the cops will leave a car with its keys sitting somewhere just to catch someone stealing the
oh,
car?
Yeah.
That's total entrapment and so stupid. Like, why do we need to pay people to be out there creating criminals? It's so stupid. It's like what right. you're saying. You don't get people out there creating arsonists.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm just going to leave these matches.
Well,
right
look at
here,
what the federal building. Government did to Ian Freeman. They created a criminal.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't harm anybody. He caused no physical harm to anyone. All of his transactions were completely voluntary.
He tried to prevent financial harm.
He went out of his way to prevent and prevented more financial harm than the entire FBI has done.
Right.
Right.
Right. Like, by himself in doing this thing. And they've created what I call criminals of bureaucracy. That is a paperwork violation. Right. He was found guilty of you didn't pay a fee and fill out the right paperwork to the government to be conducting your life the way you were. That's what they found him guilty of. He harmed no one. He harmed no one's property. And he's looking at 8 years. They created a criminal out of nothing.
And we are an open phones show, so I'm going to go back to the phones. We have Law Dog in Michigan. You're on the phones, Law Dog. What's on your mind?
Hi, Bonnie. Hi, Captain Kickass. How are you guys doing tonight?
You yourself.
Yeah, now that your leader's in prison there,
leader.
Taking over, what's the manifesto and what's the game plan?
Well, so
Ian's only my leader.
So, yeah, like in, what's today, Thursday? So I think as of Monday, you're going to see a whole redesign of all of the web presence, and you're going to hear brand new music. It's going to be basically Lady Gaga for our bumper music in and out. And we're going to change the name of the show to Bonnie Talk Live.
Yes.
It's going to be BTL, not to be confused with Beard Talk Live, which is also BTL. But, yeah, basically, Bonnie's just taking over the whole show, and you're just going to have to live with it.
It's going to be only me and Nikki from now on. Occasionally we'll have Lori. Only women.
Well, suddenly I've
Angie.
I've lost my seat.
Well, that isn't all bad, I guess.
Captain can do behind the scenes work on the, you know.
Yeah, I'll be the producer slash tech support slash, you know, whatever.
But
so what's the plan on springing Ian out of prison there? Is there any?
Well, so what we're trying to do is we're trying to get all three warring sets of outlaw bikers, right? So we're trying to get the Hells Angels, the Outlaws, and the Bandidos all to act cooperatively and voluntarily to stage a breakout.
No, stop. We're not doing any of
that. I have a suggestion here, if you'd like to hear it.
Tanks? No, I'm kidding.
Killdozer?
No tanks.
Killdozer?
Why don't you email Peter Ducey of the press corps, and he can ask KGP or whatever she is, or whoever she is, would Biden pardon the Crypto Six, and then you get some other moderators on the questions on the debate, asking these guys out there like DeSantis, Trump, and even your friend Vivek there, if they would pardon the crypto.
He's not my friend. I actually do think that.
Discussion and debate.
I do think that's a good idea I just want to respond. Come on, you've already said it.
Man out of prison.
So I do think it's a good idea to, if you know that there's some politician going around, and thank you for the call, Law Dog. If you think there's some politician going around and you want to go see him, if you get the chance to ask a question, usually these things are pretty canned, but if you can, ask them, would you pardon Ian Freeman, and try to get a recording of that response, because that could be, you know, putting them on the spot and making them have to answer that is could be pretty interesting, but it's not going
to
get them out.
I had to look up Peter. I had to look up Peter Ducey, because
isn't he on Fox and Friends?
When you say his name, I immediately want to say Peter Ducey.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, because I imagine that his name is spelled far more similar to that than the sound of what was pronounced. But
I actually think it's Steve Ducey on
Peter
Fox and Friends.
D-O-O-C-Y. So, like, Ducey makes sense. Apparently, Peter Ducey is Fox News Channel's White House correspondent. And so he covers, you know, government at the highest level. And, you know,
just email him
as if that's going to happen. I mean, these people in the mainstream media just do whatever government tells them to. Government constantly sends press releases to every news agency, and all these news agencies, these mainstream media people do is copy and paste. They don't do any research. They don't go, hey, wait, this is wrong, or no, we have a different take on it. No. They copy and paste and publish it. That's all they do.
Well, coming up, we're going to cover a police department that lost 25% of its officers for misconduct in the last 2 months. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. As the conflict with the Palestinian militant group Hamas persists, Israel's government and centrist opposition have come together to form a unity government. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who arrived in Israel earlier today, commented on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on this development.
We welcome the government's creation and the unity and resolve that it reflects across Israel society.
Two protesters were arrested during former college swimmer and women's sports activist Riley Gaines' Real Women's Day event at Pennsylvania State University. The two transgender activists, a male and a female, were handcuffed and put in a police car after shouting accusations and knocking over promotional materials. One Powerball ticket that was purchased just north of Los Angeles, California, worth $1.7 billion. Dave Collins, USA News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me. Just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Coconut didn't get the cue.
Oh, he loves the microphone.
I was pointing the mic at him, but he was like, no.
He has nothing to say.
I'm too cool to be on the radio.
He's keeping it close to his chest.
He'll only do television appearances, but
yeah, only close-ups.
He's a bit of a snob. He needs only green M&Ms in the bowl in his green room.
I heard he did the Oscar Mayer Wiener commercial or something, right?
He's not a wiener dog.
Well, you dressed him up like a hot dog.
Yeah, I heard he had a Halloween hot dog costume.
Yes. I have him HOTDOG costume. I can't say that loud around
him. I'm sorry. DAWG.
Yeah.
Hot dog.
Yep, that's what he's going to be for
hot
Halloween.
Hot dog.
DAWG dog.
It's kind of a bad idea because he's not reacting right now, but he's being really calm. If you say that word, normally it gets him really excited. We're talking about my dog, Coconut, that's here in the studio with us, and this is Free Talk Live, and we are Bonnie.
Coconut.
Captain.
And Joa.
There you go.
Well, I got mine right. You guys, you didn't get yours right.
Yeah, we're weird. Sorry.
But we've been talking tonight about all of the ways that the government sucks and their jobs could be done a lot better by private companies and without violating your rights or harming you or killing your dog.
To be fair, we would need far more than 3 hours to talk about all of the ways the government sucks.
True. We've been talking about many of them, but one thing we did today, I want to give out the phone number, though, because you can bring up whatever's on your mind. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. So I did want to bring up, Joa has a YouTube called Breaking the Flaw, and today he and I went out and recorded ourselves putting quarters in meters. And why is that, Joa?
Activism.
Well, but first, I went a couple days ago, and I did a records request, and I got an email this morning saying, sorry, but you didn't have an authorized signature on your anonymous records request. I mean, come on. How absurd is this? So, well, Bonnie, you had asked me if you want to go do Robin Hood. I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Couldn't you have done just like John Doe? Right.
Yeah.
Bob Smith. Something. Yeah. You know, like, I mean,
I would have expected that you need a signature on an anonymous request.
It sounds so silly.
Depending on like how badly you want the information. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
I would probably give it up, but they're idiots for challenging it. But,
sure.
Okay. But yeah, Bonnie asked if we wanted to go go Robin Hooding. I was like, yeah, let's go. And so we did. And I don't know how many people we saved.
I did at least 8.
Yeah, I feel like we did like over a dozen.
Let's tell our listeners who don't know, what is Robin Hooding?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you basically forward follow the parking enforcer.
Meter maid.
Yep, meter maid, parking Nazi, whatever you want to call it.
Parking Nazi.
And you put the money in before they get there. And, you know, Lynn, we found out her name today is Lynn.
Yeah, we thought she was Jane, but actually this one...
They kind of look alike, aren't
they? Yeah, they do. They really do.
And,
they both look soulless and old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty sad.
You would, too, if that were your job.
No, I wouldn't.
And, well, you wouldn't take that job. But
yeah.
Lynn wears a brown coat, ironically, and goes around, takes people's money by finding them, putting tickets on their cars, and, when we get to the meters, the coin-fed meters, unfortunately there is other meters that are not like that. We have no control, or we haven't figured out yet how to...
They pay by app. And,
yeah, I'm wondering if there's a way we can do it eventually. But anyways, so we see that the meter has run out, and we put in, not a quarter, a nickel.
Just one nickel for three minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes. And sometimes we're generous, and like, especially if someone's parking right there, I want to be like, hey, you mind if, because we have the interaction, and I'll be like, hey, how long are you going to be? I'll put the money in for you. So I like to feed people's meters as they park, too, just so because they'll appreciate that we fed the meter, and they appreciate what we're doing.
Somebody actually said thank you to me today.
It's like, I've had several thank yous.
Who says thank you to the meter maid?
Never.
No one. Thank you. Thank you for this ticket. Thank you for charging me $15 because I accidentally forgot that I was parked for like 5
Talk
minutes
about
extra.
Cognitive Stockholm dissonance syndrome.
What?
If they said that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, if you're like, oh, thank you for giving me this ticket, so I have to pay a fine.
I totally deserve this. Like, thank you so much.
Somebody out there is probably doing that, honestly. There are people that much of cucks for the government.
That is the definite, like, and it's like cognitive dissonance and Stockholm syndrome are two different things. But no, to me, it's all just one thing. It's cognitive Stockholm dissonance syndrome, and way too many people suffer from this.
So, yeah, we saved a few people.
So,
and
right when she's
happened?
About to walk up to him, yeah, we'll put the quarter in, and or nickel, sorry, in, and then she goes, just like, keeps walking. She's so annoyed. The other thing
is
they are supposed to clock out for the day, or at least stop doing their patrolling at 5, but both of them, because then a male one showed up, a gentleman meter maid.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Showed up, and he was terrible. He wouldn't
Come
identify.
Come on, meter man.
Right,
I'm Meter Man.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. No, actually,
I'm
you
not
guys
mermaid.
Were the,
I'm
you
a
guys
mermaid.
Were the
His really. Name is Have a Nice Day.
Yeah, that's what he kept saying. You were like, I was like, you know, you have to identify. I don't remember if it's Article or Amendment 8 of the New Hampshire Constitution, but whatever it is, in the New Hampshire Constitution that he supposedly probably took an oath to, he's supposed to be transparent and open and honest and. You know, he's supposed to tell you his name. You're a member of the public. And I would say, you know, what's your name, sir? And he would say, have a nice day. And he was just being such a jerk.
You didn't see it, but he did a football move on me.
What?
Yeah, try to
football or NFL football.
NFL.
Okay, oh, he did like a basketball.
I just call it that. You could call it a basketball move too.
Pretend to go one way.
Juke left.
yeah.
Wow, what a loser.
And then he started to like follow behind me, like he's accomplishing something, like it's his job. But some lady's like, "Hey, do you have a lighter?" So I just stopped my tracks, and that meter man, hardly a man, he slightly brushed into me, and I it's not a big deal. It's just my clothing. But the thing is that he was doing that to intimidate.
Right.
I was staying a good safe distance from him, and then when he went right behind me, he is clearly. That's like intimidation.
Right.
You know, you need to do that.
Yeah, and then, cops will do the same thing. They want to be behind you, but they don't want you to be behind them.
Right. And that's what I'm doing. I'm following you, man. But I'm not hovering over you like you were doing.
Right. We were keeping 6 feet away.
Yeah. And he was clearly agitated. He's like, "Have a nice day. Nice day."
So,
he said it like 8 times.
The other thing about it is we caused them to get so annoyed from being followed by us that they clocked out at 4. So, you know, an hour of free parking in Keene today thanks to Joe and Bonnie.
Yay. You guys rock.
Right.
That's awesome.
Or at least not free because people didn't know, but they wouldn't get tickets for sure.
And, you know, my favorite part out of the other day and today is the library because they're double dipping. One, they're stealing from you already for the library.
And then they have
They charge you a meter to be in the library because, like, you have to park. And I look at it as, like, they're charging you to read.
And don't they charge you if you have, like, overdue books and all that kind of stuff, too?
Yeah, but see, that's kind of like,
I guess it's their way of people not stealing books, but, like...
You should return.
They were already bought with stolen money.
You're volunteering to go to the library to participate in that system. You don't have to go to the library. Honestly, no one has to go to the library.
Books are dirt cheap.
Okay, so you can go anywhere.
So by that same logic, then toll roads are also double dipping.
Yes. Yeah. You already paid for the roads.
You've already paid for the roads. There's no reason for them to charge you again.
That is just a system to milk. Actually, the New Hampshire tolls have already paid for the roads. They basically are just run by a private company and the government takes a cut.
Yep.
There's no reason they exist anymore.
Easy pass.
But I don't think you really finished your story.
I just go through the easy pass because it says easy pass. I'm going to go through it. It's easy, right?
Nothing's happened.
It actually is really easy to just go past it.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Nothing has happened to me.
Happened to me either.
But you didn't really finish your story about you put in an anonymous records request.
Yes.
And what happened?
Okay, so we get to City Hall, Keene, New Hampshire City Hall, and I go to the city clerk and I talk to him. "Hey, I don't know why you guys are denying me my records request because I didn't give a signature on an anonymous, records request." And the secretary there, she gets Bill, the guy that actually sent me the email, and he just starts off like immediately. He's like, "Oh yeah, no, it's fine. I'll fulfill it. I get it." Da 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 da.
I give him an A for transparency. He was fine with the cameras. He explained everything to you.
Yeah.
He was as far as being an auditor. I don't think he did a bad job.
I think he put his foot in his mouth when he sent that email and he realized it that he is up for a lawsuit if he doesn't fulfill it.
Oh, that's why he's on his best behavior.
That's why I think he was looking a little like nervous and oh yeah, no, I'm gonna get it done.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's what I was seeing in him. Yeah, because he knew he messed up.
All right. So what did he tell you that you got to do now?
Nothing. He's gonna fulfill it. It's just gonna take some time.
Hmm.
And I'm actually surprised that they even messaged me like 2 days later that they, just a response in general, because it usually takes them like a couple weeks to even respond to your email. You know, it just fades away in your mind sometimes, and you forget that you actually did it, and yeah. But it was good.
Because of that guy, whatever his name is, Mr. Have a Nice Day, who wasn't giving his name, I put in a complaint today to the city manager. So the city manager of Keene, New Hampshire, I talked to her directly. They didn't have a complaint form.
Right.
I guess no one complained.
It doesn't happen that often.
Probably because of cognitive Stockholm dissonance syndrome. People just don't complain about the very many things that they have to complain about, the government stealing from them.
It's just that people have really getting given up in ways to complain. Like, they're not going to listen, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah,
no,
that's a good point.
If everyone just complained, if everyone just showed up to City Hall, showed up to City Council meetings.
Put her in such a bad mood. But, she was so mad.
That was, like, the best moment I've had with her, because you should see other videos of her on my video. She's so, like, flaring arms, frustrated.
She
oh,
was,
my
like,
God.
Being flamboyantly annoyed with us, though. She's, she was looking at us like, what is going on in that lobby? Ugh. Seriously?
And she had to talk to her other colleague about how we're filming in there. Like, she was doing it very, like, nonchalant. And then, like, so he got out of his office to see what was going to happen when she opened the door and talked to us.
It's like these people are terrified of cameras, like, as if they're weapons. Like, we're out there, like, pointing guns at them or something.
And then, ironically, there's a camera right there, dead center in her office, watching her all the time.
That's them monitoring us. They don't want us monitoring them. Yeah. Because they're, you know... the special people, and we're the plebs.
Well, unfortunately for them, we're the government watchdogs, and we're gonna put you in check there, Lady Helen.
So, today my complaint wasn't actually about her, but it was to her.
Right.
So she gave me a regular piece of paper and a pen. I wrote out this maybe like 2-paragraph thing, and I handed it to her, and who knows what'll happen. I put my phone number on it, so.
And I... you went above and beyond and did the complaint, but I was even just saying to them, look, why don't you, like, to Bill downstairs.
But he said he wouldn't. He wasn't going to do anything.
Well, he was like, I'm not sure, I got to look into it, da-da-da. But I was saying, look, if you just educate the public officials, especially the park enforcement, about that, how they have to identify, and if you do that education, and then I go back out there and ask him again, is he going to say his name or not? Like...
Clearly, Lynn knew she's supposed to, because when I showed up today, I asked her, what's your name, ma'am? She was kind of silent, making a jeering face or whatever. And I said, you do have to answer because you're a public official. And she said, my name's Lynn. So, yeah. She obviously knew she had to. She really didn't want to talk to us at all. She wasn't laughing at any of our jokes today. She was doing all these nervous ticks, kicking rocks as she walked.
Rolling eyes, and all kinds of things like that.
That's basically what we did today. That was our public service for the day. I kind of feel like, you know how...
Let me just say thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service, both of you.
I want to say, I'm not comparing us to, like, Gandhi or something, but back in the day when people had a message, they would go around their town and talk about it all day. And that's what Joe and I have basically done all day.
Yep.
We had this conversation with that canvasser, explaining to him why the cops are bad. We went around filming and policing the criminals in our neighborhood. Also, Joe put it on YouTube. I'm going to put mine on YouTube, too. And we also ran into this guy with a Trump hat, and we were explaining to him what Joe's sign meant.
He's known.
Oh, I know who he is.
Yeah.
Something with a B.
I don't really remember his name.
He attacked Lumpy.
Yeah, and he's also, like...
He's
threatened me before, too.
It just occurred to me who he is.
Yeah, he's threatened me. I've seen him assault people.
Seen
him pit the police against people.
Brandon.
All kinds of things.
Something like that.
Yeah.
He goes by his last name that's with a B. Ugh, I can't remember his name now. Ian showed me a video of him. If you're a Freakin' fan, if you like the Freakin' stuff, especially from like a decade ago, he's the guy who put his face all up in the camera of it was actually on Dave Ridley. It was on
Ridley.
Like,
I
want to
file a complaint against him because he's a disturbance, something like that. I don't know what the context of the video is.
This other one, he was just being silent and he put his face all up in Dave Ridley's video camera just for like 2 minutes, and Ridley was just laughing. He's like, okay.
He did get kind of, like, he did come at me a little aggressive, because I know him, right? I've known of him. And when he got up off that bench, he came up to read my button that's on my gimbal, my tripod, right? And it says state speech is hate speech. He had to get up to read it, which I was getting prepared that he is going to, like, do something stupid, because he has in the past, you know? So.
Yeah, he's, like, assaulted people before.
Yep.
He assaulted Gary Dean of, you know, previously on Free Talk Live, I think, but also Freakin'. I'm not sure if he was on Free Talk Live. I forget the guy's name. Maybe we didn't do anything by talking to him. But I just knew he was a statist, obviously.
Yeah, whatever.
And we were, you know, spreading our message to him. That's what people used to do in the old days. It's like, now people, like, don't really have their own opinions, and if they do, like, you know, you don't talk about religion, politics, and sex, so I'm just going to have nothing to say all day, waste my life, and I don't know.
That's
I just,
all I talk about now.
Well, it's because they're all getting fed instead of all choosing to engage. What do I mean by that? Well, most people turn on a television and just leave it on while they, you know, put their coat down and take their shoes off and prep dinner and make their phone calls. And
you're downloading their opinions.
Yeah, you're getting fed that information just by osmosis.
Right.
Right. Same thing with the internet, scrolling, right? You know, if you're just blah, 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 scrolling aimlessly, right? You're getting fed all these headlines. Most people only read the headlines anyway.
It's true.
Which is sad, right? Because there's so much more content on the internet than just the headline. But most people are just getting fed that, and that's enough for them to be programmed to regurgitate those things. Right.
And, so, actually, you bring up a great point right now. And I'm a little disappointed in Tim Pool because he had said today that, but he didn't use the words exactly, but he was working it around by saying it, World War III has started. And I think that was kind of irresponsible for him to say that because it's just not quite there yet, but we're pretty freaking close.
And making people believe that is a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a good strategy. And especially if you have that many people following you, you know?
Right. If you're
peer monitoring.
Right.
He gets a lot of, what do you call it?
Warmongers?
Well, no. He's told to say the words civil war on his show a lot because people donate and say the words. And he's like, all right, there's civil war. And like, and he just says it on his show and he's joking. It's obvious he's joking about it, but he definitely like panders to his crowd in that sense by saying it. Anyways.
Interesting. But I just think, is that what Jesus did? Did Jesus just go download his opinions from the Sadducees and Pharisees all day and repeat what he heard? Or did he have opinions that went against the narrative and go around teaching it to people?
Right.
And then I just think that, you know, Jesus, Gandhi, people like that, they're people you should emulate, not, people that tell you to just ignore, be entertained.
You said earlier not to compare, you know, yourselves to Gandhi and, you know, your activism and that kind of thing. I also support not comparing yourselves to Gandhi because Dave Ridley already did that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm just saying, man, like, you know, don't step on his toes, man. Ridley's great.
I've heard several
times. Yes, it's me, Gandhi.
Oh my God.
I just jumped in Dave's voice.
He would call in, and then he did the walk. And
I can't believe it was that. Amazing. Yeah, I forgot he was calling in with the Gandhi voice. I remember I asked my friend from Pakistan, I was like, is this offensive to you, Zulfi? And he was like, no, people from my part of the world, we love being like emulated and talked about. He said the only people that wouldn't are, you know, people from Pakistan, people from India who went to American colleges.
Prudes.
That's pretty funny. Well,
they went to Prude University.
Who knows if that's really true with everyone, but I just wanted to make sure I wasn't offending my friend by posting Bitcoin Gandhi. But we're going to get right into it. We have this story from Eyewitness News, from ABC13.com. Patton Village Police Department loses 25% of its officers for misconduct, including sergeant arrested for a DWI.
Wait a second. That's not unheard of. I was arrested by a cop that actually had a DWI.
Was it, like, going on in that moment, or...
The way I learned about it is when Ian told me after my trial, I mean, he could have told me before my trial, so I could have questioned this guy, like, how can we ever trust you ever again?
Yeah,
did he get the DWI while on the job?
It was not on the job.
Wow. But still... How are you supposed to trust him?
Yeah. He lost the total trust of the community and the public when he did that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're like...
And how can he testify against anyone ever again? You know, it's like he lost... You should be held to a higher standard.
Going around pulling people over for things like that
after
you did it? Do you know what the substance was?
Alcohol.
Wow.
Drunk.
Yeah, that's like the worst. Like the worst drug to be...
Asking about because he's the one that told me about it.
Yep. There's what baffles my mind is that I've traveled from, you know, state to state over the course of my life, and what baffles me is there's so many similar terminology. So there's DWI, driving while intoxicated. There's DUI, driving under the influence.
That's what a DUI.
There's OWI, operating while intoxicated.
So that's like not driving, but maybe a forklift.
There's OUI, operating under the influence, right?
It's operating like, you know, forklifts, like just not cars or something?
Like, I know somebody who effectively got a DUI, whatever these acronyms are, whichever one you want to assign to it, because he was on a lawn mowing tractor driving on, not even the shoulder, but on the lawn.
What?
Of, you know, next to the shoulder of the road.
Wow.
Right? And like, he only lived, like, I don't know, 4 blocks or something away from the convenience store. And so he got on his riding lawnmower to go get a six-pack of
beer. That's what my brother used to do, not for beer, but when he was a teenager, yeah. Before he could drive, and he was like, oh, I want to drive. He would just drive his lawnmower.
You know, some cop with a vendetta or somebody was bored or whatever. He, quote, pulled him over. I don't know how you can pull over any further than the lawn.
Did he drive
past
into the grass?
The shoulder. Like, I'm not sure how that happened. I know people that have gotten tickets for DUI on, like, bicycles.
Yeah, wow. I've heard of that, too.
Right? So, like, it's ridiculous, all the different acronyms for, like, this same action when, like, the end crime is already a crime, right? So let's say you get into a car and you drive drunk. Nothing happens. Okay, that happens pretty frequently. You get into a car and you drive drunk and you crash into somebody's fence, right? Okay, so now your justice means you got to make that person whole. You got to repair the fence. You got to apologize. Maybe do some work for them, whatever it is. Make them whole again, right?
Yeah.
So that was already a criminal offense. Breaking somebody's property is already a crime,
right?
Right. Not necessarily the drinking and the driving. There's also people who drink and drive who never get into an accident.
Right.
No one wants to ever talk about this.
Right.
But it happens, and it happens all
the
time.
They're the ones with the cozies for their beers.
Alcohol. They're the ones with the cans, little wraps that go around the can that make it look like Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Right? But it says Mountain, like, blue or something. Yeah. It's like the same colors, but, like, it's just enough to pass a cursory observation.
Yeah. See, I could see cops, maybe like a voluntary cop force pulling people over who are even, like, swerving a whole lot. Like, that's most, like, what's the word? Like,
that's called reckless driving. Already a crime.
See, that's like it. But if you're just driving normally, then a cop pulls you over because blah, 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 whatever. And then they say they smell alcohol and you weren't hurting anybody. It's kind of silly. I mean, people are on substances all day. Are they going to expand it into caffeine? 603-283.
I'm high on life.
6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.